Monroe, Joe Biden says immigrants are what makes us strong. By Neil Monroe on May 2, 2024. Migrants, not voting Americans and their children, are what makes us, economically, strong, President Joe Biden told a May 1 fundraiser for pro-migration groups at the elite Mayflower Hotel in Washington, D.C. Biden's statement spotlights his policy of inflating the national economy with extraction migration. Not by raising U.S. exports to developing countries or by growing Americans' all-important productivity with more investment in workplace automation and innovation. One of the reasons why our economy is growing is because of you and many others. Why? Because we welcome immigrants, Biden said, according to a report by a Pool reporter. He continued. Why is China stalling so badly economically? Why is Japan having trouble? Why is Russia? Why is India? Because they're xenophobic. They don't want immigrants. Immigrants are what makes us strong. Not a joke. That's not hyperbole, because we have an influx of workers who want to be here and just contribute. Establishment media outlets downplayed Biden's economic strategy and instead portrayed his comments as a diplomatic gaffe during Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. Biden is partly right about the economics. Migration does expand a nation's economy and tax revenues, just as ice cream expands a waistline, because migrants serve as consumers, renters, workers, and clients for government agencies. But Biden's rush of migrants also boosts inflation, housing prices, and interest rates. Worse, it shrinks C.E.O.'s willingness to pay for the vital growth in the automation and productivity that allows voters to earn more wages by doing more work each day. On May 2, Reuters reported that U.S. worker productivity growth slowed sharply in the first quarter, resulting in a surge in labor costs, but the trend in productivity remained solid. Migration lobbies sideline the productivity issue as they demand more lower-skilled, low-productivity consumers, renters, and workers. So Biden's pro-migration policy has wrecked his polls in an election year when Wall Street gains from cheap labor while ordinary American voters scrimp and save as their slow-growing wages get chewed up by inflation and housing costs. The situation is similar in the United Kingdom, where the nation's Conservative Party is facing an electoral wipeout by January 2025 because it welcomed a vast inrush of migrants who have dragged down wages, pushed up housing costs, and stalled productivity gains. So too in Canada, where investor-backed Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is facing electoral defeat in October 2025 because mass migration has pulled down wages and productivity while also pushing up housing prices so much that the birth rate has also dropped. In Ireland, the nation's leading political parties also face defeat in 2025 because the now-departed Prime Minister, Leo Varadkar, dramatically ramped up migration numbers. Varadkar's father was born in India. Biden also slammed Japan, which has recently decided to start importing workers. The growth trajectory of the Japanese economy is actually not so bad when looking at per capita figures. Ulrich Voles, an economics professor at SOAS University of London, said in an email to the Washington Post. In contrast, China's dictatorship has adopted the economic strategy used by generations of U.S. governments between 1925 and roughly 1990. The prior U.S. strategy emphasized education, science, productivity, and automation, and it allowed generations of Americans to massively increase production, grow exports, and share vast wealth via wages and stock values, even as they fought in One World War II and the Cold War. But that low migration, high productivity strategy was abandoned in 1990 by Republicans and Democrats who allowed investors to move U.S. manufacturing to China. The politicians also choose to inflate the nation's consumer economy by doubling the extraction of consumers, renters, and workers from developing countries. China's dictatorship took advantage of this U.S. shift to import American expertise and funding to help create their own network of high-tech factories amid regime-surveilled widespread poverty. For example, The New York Times reported in August 2023 about how China is trying to grow its auto industry without immigration. China, and particularly the electric car industry, is trying to use automation to address its shortage of willing hands. According to the International Federation of Robotics, businesses in China installed more industrial robots in 2022 than the rest of the world combined. It exceeded its biggest manufacturing rivals, Japan, the United States, South Korea, and Germany. By 2027, NIO plans to replace half its managerial positions with artificial intelligence and a third of its factory workers with robots, said Mr. Ji, the company's vice president of manufacturing. One of NIO's factories makes 300,000 EV motors a year and has a mere 30 workers. All of these companies have a hard time to find blue-collar labor, said Jolene Lin, the chief executive of Principal Capital, a Shanghai investment firm with stakes in numerous Chinese factories. That's why all the companies are looking for automation and robotics solutions. In contrast, U.S. Fortune 500 companies are protecting their value on Wall Street by importing migrants for U.S. white-collar jobs and exporting jobs to white-collar workers in developing countries. Biden's May 1 comments about China matches earlier April 16 campaign speech in Scranton, PA, where he declared, "They're xenophobic, nobody else is coming in, they've got real problems." Extraction migration. Since at least 1990, the federal government has relied on extraction migration to grow the consumer economy after it helped investors move the high-wage manufacturing sector to lower-wage countries. The migration policy extracts vast amounts of human resources from needy countries. The additional workers, consumers, and renters push up stock values by shrinking Americans' wages, subsidizing low-productivity companies, boosting rents, and spiking real estate prices. The economic policy has pushed many native-born Americans out of careers in a wide variety of business sectors, reduced Americans' productivity and political clout, slowed high-tech innovation, shrunk trade, crippled civic solidarity, and incentivized government officials and progressives to ignore the rising death rate of discarded, low-status Americans. The policy also sucks jobs and wealth from heartland states by subsidizing coastal investors and government agencies with a flood of low-wage workers, high-occupancy renters, and government-aided consumers. Similar policies have damaged citizens and economies in Canada and the United Kingdom. The colonialism-like policy has damaged small nations and has killed hundreds of Americans and thousands of migrants, including many on the taxpayer-funded jungle trail through the Darien Gap in Panama.